This is the Rookie Parent Podcast, hosted by Ida and Pam, who are sisters based in South Africa. The podcast covers an array of topics that touch on real-life adulting scenarios faced by young parents in today's multifaceted world. Are live from Mimi Canetta's room.
What up?
We are back in the Bew.
We're back in the Bew. And the Bew always changes.
It's not the Bill, it's the Bew, as in the building.
Okay, so Ida, we are here in your daughter's room, Amira, and we are going in on a juicy topic.
Yeah, so our studio for today is none other than my daughter's room, which is really nice and comfortable. I hope we don't fall asleep.
And it's pink and colorful and
I
cute.
I love this. So, actually, you know what? It's also quite healing.
It is quite healing.
I often sleep in this room when I need a break from Philip.
Wow.
Jokes, but not jokes. And then also, I come to this room when I need, like, there's times when I have nightmares, and when I come here, I get some sort of peace. Probably being around her also does that. But it's a form of healing, right?
It is a form of healing. So for those who don't know, Amira is Ida's daughter, and yeah, we're in her room today.
Yeah, and that's where we're recording. And our topic today is one that is so close to Pam and I's hearts. We're talking about
healing.
Yeah. I say it's close to our hearts because we spend hours on end talking about healing. And, well, in the recent months to years, we've been talking about healing. But prior to that, we never even engaged on it. I don't think we ever even worked on healing, right?
Absolutely not. We just used to move forward and roll with the punches. Oh my word, roll with the punches. That is such a bad piece of advice.
Right?
So Ida and I...
Sounds like one of our bosses, because Pam and I worked together quite a bit at different companies.
Yeah.
I feel like there might have been a boss who said, just roll with the punches.
Yes, I actually know who he was. But we won't name and shame on this here podcast.
Do you
want
to mouth him?
Yeah, no, we won't name and shame.
No, we love all our ex-bosses.
Some. Anyway, so Ida and I, with our podcast, I think even the Rookie Parent Society, the inception of the Rookie Parent Society came from a very broken, hard, lonely, difficult place of early motherhood. And the idea was really, we didn't, might not have vocalized it or thought it, but it was healing. And our community and the content we share is all around healing.
That is very true. Deliberately so, right? Because I think in the past, I'll speak for myself, my healing was ad hoc and as when and as a you know, like a byproduct of needing to move forward to the next thing. So
yes.
Oh, I've broken up with so and so, I'm actually really hurt, but I need to move on and carry on with life, so I'm just gonna do some little stopgap measures. Yeah,
quick fixes,
you know, put a plaster on it and keep moving, and then those things come for you. But not just even in the context of you know, romantic relationships, in so many spheres where people probably don't think that there's healing required.
Absolutely. Like,
and we're gonna unpack that, right?
Absolutely. And also, I was gonna say, who thinks that healing needs to happen in the workplace, but we'll get into that.
That workplace one, actually, I need to make a note to some, because just last week, guys, I had an incident. I didn't tell you about it. I'm going to tell you about it.
Are you going to tell the people listening about it?
Yeah. It's I'm not outing anyone, if, you know, it's just facts of life, guys. And at some point, you have to be vulnerable and open yourself up. Nobody owns me anymore. And as much as I might need references here and there, I'm not going to say anything to ruin my career, but facts are facts.
Facts are facts, girl.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us now or later?
Later, isn't it?
Can you jot that down? Because in the past, I know we've had some podcast episodes where we say we're going to do something, and then we just get caught up, eh?
She knows me very well, guys. Okay, so to start off this conversation, I think it's important to have a bit of a formal definition because, Pam, a lot of the stuff we say here is based on our experience. Mm-hmm. And
so it might be subjective.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the definition I'm reading is probably subjective because...
It's from someone's blog.
But we're hoping she did some sort of research. It's the happiness... Is it the happiness or happiness? Happinesshunter.com. That's where we got this from, and it's basically an introduction into what emotional healing is. And the healing we are discussing today is not physical wounds and all of that. We're actually talking about hurt spiritually, emotionally, your soul. Yeah, the intangible hurt that no one really sees until it starts manifesting into the physical. So the happinesshunter.com says that emotional healing... Okay, so I was going to give you a definition. In fact, let me go to the definition and then I'll come back to this other point, which is so important. Emotional healing involves integration of the fragmented parts of our soul to help us not only understand a past experience, but to resolve it fully so that it has no emotional response whatsoever. With emotional healing, the past traumatic experience will no longer control our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Instead, limiting belief systems will be overcome and lasting. Instead, limiting belief systems will be overcome and lasting positive change will take place on a deeper soul level.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we need to light some candles, burn some incense, and
play some mantras. This is such
a soulful. I love it.
So before we lose any listeners who think that, oh, this isn't for me, I shouldn't be listening to this, I just actually want to pre-frame this idea.
Okay, cool.
I want to just say that you might not understand that this is something that we all actually... experience. So this is coming from a place of one, being a parent. So if you have children, whether you're a mom or a dad, you will need some sort of healing. You will need to learn how to heal for your marriage, for your relationships with your kids. And also in your day-to-day life. So it might sound like, oh, we're talking about healing. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to contextualize it and say we're going to be touching on our own personal experiences and just touching on things that I don't think get enough attention and airplay.
Mm. That's true. Pam, I actually want to say, even though we had that definition, there's something there that I wanted to just unpack. And it's something that I don't necessarily agree with. And I've had to deal with this recently, which is a part of this definition spoke about... fully resolving whatever it is. And I don't know if I agree about fully resolving, because that would imply that that thing has no bearing on you anymore. Or do you think, I just want to unpack that, because there's a lot of scenarios that say I would say today that I've healed from. But to say that I'm a fully resolved is something which I can't accept, because full resolution for me would involve... Let's just say it's a person that has hurt me.
Yeah.
A situation or a person. Fully resolving that, discussing it, fleshing it out. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry. You know, getting an apology, having that closure. For me, that's what fully is. So is it possible or is it necessary to fully resolve it and get to a point of full healing from a situation?
So I think that's a question that a lot of people are trying to answer. Because if you just look around you in literature and podcasts, everyone's coming with a new way to heal or a new way to... So I think it leads to the fact that you don't ever fully heal, but you can work to improve all the time. Because if there was an answer on fully resolving it, I'm sure as a society would have all reached at that level.
Yeah.
So I think that you can't... fully resolve, I don't think it's practical, because in some cases to fully resolve something you need the other person
to be who was involved. Yeah.
And maybe that person isn't going to ever be on board. So how do you fully resolve it?
I get you. So I just need to come in here because I this week I experienced something that took me back 10 years, in which I was in a situation where I had someone who hurt me really badly, and I have to say I hurt as well. It was like a co-hurt relationship, not physical, obviously we're talking about emotional hurt. And me and that person then like cut off ties completely until this week, 10 years later. And we had our first discussion that was meant to be a healing one. And we both went into it looking to heal. Now, I have to say that prior to this week or this conversation, I thought I'd healed. Yeah. I was actually like moving on, you know, everything fine. We're cut off from each other. And that, you know, it's like a little, it's a severed limb or whatever it is. And I never felt the need to ever go back. And I thought I didn't. Until we started talking, I went so deep into the conversation. We found ourselves getting deep into this. And at some point, I think we both just realized that we were not ready. And I'll speak for myself. I will never be ready to go and have a discussion with this person about the stuff that hurt me, because it will unravel my current life.
Yeah. Do you know, I know what you're saying, but I don't agree.
I mean, I really wish that I could go into detail with this one, because it's like a proper case study for whether or not you can fully... And this... Okay, so the person was willing to heal. We were both willing to go toe-to-toe and say, you hurt me when you did this, then you hurt me when you did this. The minute they started saying to me, you know, Ida, you hurt me when you did this, I was like, oh my word, I cannot go there, because you have no idea what you did to hurt me. And at that point, I realized that actually, I'm not going to be okay for my current life to progress if I go back and start removing those scabs. I did put a plaster on this wound, but under that there's a scab. There isn't a scar. There's a scab, and I'm not willing to pick at that scab, because what is it gonna do for my current day, for my mental health? Am I going to spiral out of control for somebody who's 10 years out?
I get what you're saying, and I get exactly the fear, but I also don't agree with you. And this is something that I've been learning in therapy. I know we were going to talk about therapy later into the episode, but I just actually want to like touch on it straight away, right?
You've been in therapy. I've been in therapy way before. This is your first encounter with therapy, right?
Yes, this is my first year in therapy. Mm-hmm. And what we've unpacked about me is that I am so scared of vulnerability, right? And I'm someone who will have quick fixes to make sure I'm fine. I'm more comfortable with being optimistic, solving the problem. That's my personality. I'm not that person who sits down and doesn't know what to do and is so sad and so vulnerable, and like I've opened up pain,
right?
And I don't know what's going to happen. I've got such a fear of pain, vulnerability, and certain emotions that make me feel weak.
Like shame.
So I think that in a lot of ways I've been, you know how men are raised, toxic masculinity, and how you can't be weak? I feel like I've developed some of those traits, right? And I don't think it's a gender thing. I think a lot of people do this, and you're doing that right now. Because, and what I learned from my therapist is that engaging in those hard and messy emotions is not going to wreck your life. Nothing is going to happen. You're just going to feel deep pain that you've been delaying or refusing yourself to feel. But those feelings are still there. And to have those feelings doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to come out of it. And it doesn't mean that you and that person have to both agree. It doesn't mean that you and that person both have to make up. But you need to allow Ida to feel those painful feelings. And it's not going to mean that Mira's mom is not going to be able to be a mom anymore. You're going to have to be shipped to... What is the worst that could happen from feeling the emotions alone without the person being a part of the thing, right? And that's the question. So I've had to... And the thing with therapy is you actually have to have courage to feel feelings and to maybe be a lot sadder than you planned for a lot longer than you imagine, because society raises us to quickly get positive, right? Pick ourselves up. And that's why I like that Robin Sharma guy, because his podcast talks about emotions as and relationships and feelings as seasons, where you're going to have your winter, you're going to have your summer.
Yeah.
But we want to stay in summer. We want to always have those great times. And it's a quick fix. And that's why everyone is on edge.
Yeah.
That's why everyone is triggered so easily. That's why there's so much projection anger, yeah, and anger. It's yeah, because people are carrying wounds that they have not dealt with. Mm,
enter the South African context where there's a lot of pain which is why you then see a lot of violence and like road rage and all of this stuff. People have pent up anger and pain,
they
right?
They do. And you know, so for me, someone who for the majority of my life has been a strong person, the optimistic person, the one who always is able to sit and chat to people and just, you know, show up as the one who's strong. Mm. Everyone has pain, right? And so I'm just saying, Ida, from what I've learned, that those hurts and those feelings, if you do not confront them, they will forever be there.
Yeah.
You'll just have put a plaster. And do you know what? If you allow yourself to feel the pain, or it's not even like, oh, I want to go and feel the pain. It's just, I want to actually really unpack what happened, going to allow myself to feel that way. If I need to say something to the person, or if I need to see them,
girl,
then I'm going to speak my truth. And you know how they say sometimes you didn't speak your truth because you felt like it was inappropriate or it wouldn't be accepted,
yeah,
or there was no room for it. And have you ever had those moments where you have to speak your truth and your voice pretty much is like shaking and you're kind of making up words to not to soften the blow?
Yeah.
If you are able to be more real about how you are feeling and whether or not it makes sense or makes you look stupid or makes you look weak or vulnerable, if you can do that, you'll heal so much quicker than...
I get you. You know, Pam...
Do you get what I'm saying?
Your passion is so contagious over this topic. Like, I'm listening to you speak, and I'm just like... I actually... did you see the tear in my eye at some point?
Yeah. I could see in your eyes, you were looking in the distance, and you looked like it was...
I literally teleported into, like, my pain. But that day already shows you that probably you're right, that I need to unpack that. My teariness wasn't conscious. It was like my soul. Guys, I'm sorry to become airy
face. Thank you.
Or like thingy. But it wasn't me who was feeling that pain. It was my soul. But I'll tell you what. Even though I became teary when you were explaining, I have lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. I wanted to say, I just don't know if we live in that perfect world where we can fix every single hurt. Okay, that's
no!
Okay, this one, you know, can't be fixed without shaking up my current life, you know?
That's the big problem. The big problem is we are conditioned, either way is similar.
I don't have time, Pam, in my current life today.
I know, what you're saying.
Over 10 years ago.
No,
I don't.
You do, actually.
I don't.
Okay,
you know why?
Please, can I explain to you?
I'm in bliss right now.
Okay, I just want to explain to you. The problem is you're saying fix. People think that they have to now, just because there's been pain, they need to fix it and solve it. No, you need to just feel it. You'll be surprised after feeling that pain. It's unsustainable as a human being for that pain to live forever. It won't. The reason why it is staying is because you're not honoring it.
I get you.
People don't. And, you know, you have to get to a point where you're so comfortable being vulnerable. And do you know what? Do you know what you're afraid of? You're afraid of feeling... The real feeling. I associate the feelings that you have to feel with someone weaker than who you are. You're better than that. You're stronger than that, right?
Right.
And the person who is in your situation, I don't know the situation, probably has similar feelings. And adults...
You know the situation. Why are you saying you don't know the situation?
No, but I don't know. I'm not in the person's body. I'm not in their mind. I don't know if they were like, screw you, I'm just gonna... Or if they were like, ish, I was burning. I was really...
Oh, you mean what they don't... What not we in don't their know about mind. Them?
So what I'm saying is that all of us as adults walk around, whether we're in a relationship, boyfriend to girlfriend, husband to wife, boss to employee, everyone is pretending... Everyone is, I won't say pretending, but everyone is putting up their best foot forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we were to all bring our shame and say that, do you know what? I actually felt so whack. I felt rejected when you didn't want to talk to me because I was yelling at you for going out with your boys. I'm just giving you lame examples.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to look like the weak person. You always want to have, you know, be on that... you always want to be be on the back foot.
What you're saying is like the vulnerability. Because being vulnerable just opens you up to like... it's almost like I would put vulnerability on the same level as being naked and just... walking in the street and just being like,
absolutely,
there's no clothes to hide anything here. My stretch marks are out. My C-section can be seen.
Ida, that
my
is
breastfed
exactly,
boobs are out there.
That's exactly what I told my therapist. But, it's like, not only are you having to be comfortable with your body, because you're also looking at it like, what are these stretch marks? But at the same time, not only are you having to get used to your body and the fact that it's being seen,
you're
also dealing with someone seeing.
You see,
so
that's
lot...
the thing. Oh, Pam, actually, that's the duality, right? Mm. It's you dealing with your vulnerability and then someone else, the other person seeing it. But it also makes me wonder that if I can deal with my vulnerability and the way this is making me feel, I probably won't care what everyone else thinks.
Yes.
If I know my body and I know I've got stretch marks here, I've got dimples there, I've got this and that, but I fully love it and I know that this is the only body that I have. I'm working on it, maybe I'm not, who cares? If I walk down the street naked, all things held constant, right? Because of decency and all of that. But let's just say it was a safe space where people could walk around naked if they were brave enough. If I'm so comfortable in my naked body, then surely I don't care that people around can see me naked because I'm comfortable with myself.
But
so wouldn't
to get
it be
comfortable
that?
With your body and to love your body, you have to be honest with yourself. And if you don't like your stretch marks and you don't like your boobs and you don't like your love handles, then you're still doing the quick fix.
Mm.
The real thing is to say, to honor the fact that I am Ida and I'm walking out naked and I don't like my stretch marks. And to say, I'm acknowledging that I'm hating my body right now. Or I'm sitting with this guy and I'm acknowledging that when I'm talking to him, I feel so small. I'm acknowledging the fact that I feel... Do you know what I'm saying? It's actually, instead of saying, I love my body, it's saying, my body, I'm not comfortable with my body. Or, so it's honoring the negative feelings. Do you know what I'm saying?
I am
people
totally
aren't comfortable
getting
with
the negative
feelings. So they try so hard to turn it into a positive feeling, which requires you to lie to yourself. But if you can say that, do you know what? I'll give you an example. Let's say Warren and I have a fight. And we're fighting about something so basic, but the way in which he's talking to me is making me feel like he's winning and I'm the loser. Mm. And he's making me feel like I'm stupid. And I'm also feeling like I'm so stupid. Like, how did I not think about that?
Right,
why didn't
I do that?
Right. And accepting that and saying, I actually feel whack, and accepting the fact that you're feeling whack, it's a lot better. That's what vulnerability is. Vulnerability is saying, I am not perfect and...
This is me.
I'm accepting that.
Yeah. That is very true. You know, you put me on, you know, Red Table Talk? We've been watching it separately, right? Mm. And you told me to watch the Demi Moore one. You did
that?
Was that
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Oh, were you waiting for me to say, yes, I did?
You know what, fam? Sometimes I just don't know who I'm having a conversation with. But,
why?
No, I mean... And I don't know who might have referred something to me.
Oh, yes. No, it was me.
Usually when it's podcast related or whatever, it's usually you. And I watched it last night and it was so painful, even for me, to watch Demi Moore's children talk about her and how she wasn't emotionally available.
Yes.
And how they felt. And to watch her face, there was so much pain on her face.
That's vulnerability.
Ha! Huh. She
and
allowed herself
the
to be...
shame.
Oh, my word.
She was stripped in front of everybody
by
her daughters.
Can you imagine? And she spoke about... They spoke about when she was drinking, when she was under the influence of cocaine. All of... Like, this is a major... stage. You know, we're sitting in Amira's room, as we said, and in the room next door. I can literally hear someone
knocking. Nanny's like, I think she's sweeping and banging against the wall.
If you can hear it, as our listeners, this is the beauty of being outside of a studio environment. This is like real life things. Anyway, so what I was saying is that, can you imagine that is Demi Moore was being stripped of, like, you know, she was being her most vulnerable self in the face of addiction and all these other things that would be shameful. But even for something that is less shameful, if that's even possible, because we can't really measure shame, right? But like just for smaller things that we struggle to be vulnerable about, can you imagine what it took for her to listen to her children's pain?
Ida, ha! I just have to actually bring it home. I need to bring it into Amira's room. Do you remember when we did the podcast episode about depression? That is a classic example. That is the example of vulnerability and healing. Pamela, please, can you talk about the experience?
It was just that's the craziest. You know, leading up to that podcast where for the first time I was admitting that I suffer from depression. I mean, I do suffer from anxiety, but I don't know if at that point I was already deeply in anxiety. But anyway, it was tough because I had come face to face with myself. I looked at myself in the mirror for a very, very long time. And I was like, I actually live with this. I am not it, but I live with it. Mm. And I'll probably live with it for the rest of my life. And I felt an urge to talk about it and to speak about it so that people who are in similar situations, you know, to normalize it and to destigmatize it, etc. But also to share a part of me, especially with people who knew me as Happy Clappy Ida.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to prepare for it. I backed out of it so many times. Eventually, in the actual podcast, it was very difficult to talk about it. I don't know. I can count maybe two other times. Top three. That was probably top two. Times in my life when I felt so naked and vulnerable. Afterwards, I felt raw for a whole week. I felt so...
Yes.
And people kept talking to me about it. And I found healing in their stories. But at the same time, I just felt I was so, so naked.
Did you feel like you'd been released?
I felt that way after at least a week. So in the vulnerability, I was raw for a very long... I did feel like I had released, but the vulnerability and the... I didn't have shame. I had vulnerability and I felt naked. It was more than the relief. And then as time went by over the next few weeks, my relief superseded the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. The vulnerability was so heavy. But I'll tell you something. Now that I've gone into mental health advocacy, every single time I stand up to talk about mental health or if I share a bit about my own story, I get extremely vulnerable again. Every single time. And afterwards, I feel extremely raw. And then after that, after some time, I feel a lightness. And what's happened to me with like sharing my own story is that I have found healing in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though every single time I talk about it, I feel vulnerable. I feel raw. Mm-hmm. I feel like, oh my God, have I exposed too much? Oh my goodness, why am I doing this?
That's the world we live in. It's not just an immediately accepting world. Mm-hmm. But Ida, what came over you to do it? I actually don't, now that we're speaking about this, that was a lot for you to do. How did you just show up and say, I'm speaking about depression and just do it?
So I didn't just show up. I've been thinking about it since, so I came out when I was 35.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like how you have to say came out. It's like that deep, hey?
Yeah, this world we I often in. Say that, hey? Because with homosexuals, they're known to come out of the closet or whatever, you know, seemingly shameful things society, you know, labels. People have to come out of it and be like, hey, I'm gay or whatever. Depression is one of those where you actually have to come out and say it, because even till today, I see people reacting differently to me when I expose that. I don't care because that is who I am and that is who I've been for a long time. But what made me come out and say it is that I've had a nagging feeling that said you need to, as part of my journey of healing myself and healing others, I feel like I have a responsibility to help heal people. I have a calling to heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of it is through my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been nagging me for about 5 to 7 to 8 years. from when I first had my diagnosis and I took tablets and then I went into therapy and then I came off them and then I relapsed and like all of this stuff. I've just been thinking, I kept thinking to myself that I need to share. I need to share. I think when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just very scary for me to do that. I mentioned in that podcast that for me, even though I needed to heal and to do this, I felt like there were people who I would affect in coming out. Mm. My in-laws were one of the biggest ones because I was just like, my husband married me and, you know, who I am. But I just felt like they wouldn't accept me for who I am. I also was scared of certain family members, some of whom still haven't mentioned anything to me, but I believe they've listened. I don't have the guts to ask them because I think that might trigger stuff. That might be a healing process that I need to get into. Hey. And some friends as well who have chosen to ignore it, which hurts me, but I need to keep it moving. So yeah, I was scared of those reactions, and I did, the things I was scared of did materialize.
Yeah.
But I have to keep moving.
And you're a lot better for it.
My glow up is amazing as a result of coming out and it's being.
It's so true.
I'm able to sit in a room and be like, guys, I can't cope with this. My anxiety right now is very high. Or, Ida, do you want to drink? No. This week my anxiety has been high. If I drink alcohol, it will thingy me. Or I can't have tea. Do you get, these are like small things. Yeah. I mean, I do drink tea, but I'm just saying.
You're more empowered.
Yeah, I look at myself in the mirror and I can talk to people and say, you know what? Ida, how have you been? I'll say, you know what? My depression, I've been depressed for a couple of weeks and I've really been trying to pull myself up. Even with my husband, I can literally say to him, Philip, my anxiety is flared up. And he can be like, he still doesn't quite grasp it in terms of he's never felt it, but he can now understand my patterns after that. You know? So there's been healing in that. And I think there's also healing for people around me to understand me better in that. I think I ghosted a lot of people along the way when I couldn't cope with certain things. Ghosting was my thing, you know?
Yeah.
Ending relationships abruptly or not being available. But in me realizing who I am, I've been trying to go back to those friendships and find some sort of healing and just kind of like wiggle my way back in, because I now see that I have an issue. When I'm in depression, I remove myself from people. I like withdraw and I hurt them in the process, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's stuff like that where I'm, you know, trying to find healing. And actually in this moment, as I sit here, I'm feeling vulnerable.
That's good. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And yeah. I also feel like, there's a lot of insensitivity that exists around these issues. And in a lot of places, it's actually in a lot of ways, it's coming from a place of the person who's being insensitive resonates with it so much, but is so uncomfortable with it. So a lot of the people who are actually battling with these very issues are so uncomfortable with your comfort with it because they're still in the closet.
Like therapy, right?
Like therapy.
Like the whole stigma around seeing a therapist.
Absolutely. So I work for a scholarship program and we were at a stress and anxiety management session. And the therapist was talking about therapy and I could see that a lot of the people who were listening to the therapist who was talking about what the opportunities are for students to come and get therapy were, it's free. But no one goes because everyone thinks that it's not for them or that you have to actually have something so wrong with you that you're being locked up and you're being taken to somewhere because you've lost your mind.
So what are labeled crazy people, right?
Exactly. And people don't realize that therapy is actually a tool that you can use before you're in crisis mode. Mm. It's something that you can use to unpack things about you, where you are now, where you're going. It's almost like going to see a life coach. I was telling someone the other day that I couldn't meet with them because I was going for a therapy session. And they laughed and they asked if it was because someone that we both know we had an issue with.
Mm.
She was like, did that person push you so far that you now have to go for therapy? And she was giggling. But at the end of the day, people don't understand therapy. And it's so sad because I love...
You see.
It's actually a highlight for me in the week to be like, I'm going there.
That's it.
To be with myself. It's like...
She didn't mean harm, though. She was... Oh, sorry, I just touched the mic. She was so... I know she was probably, I'm guessing, so unaware of what it is she was saying in that moment. But a lot of the times we make these jokes, I'm really, really trying my hardest to be a different person because I'm now speaking against these things and trying to normalize mental health discussions. You know, oh, I need to see a shrink, or did you miss your shrink appointment?
Did you forget to take your pills?
Yes. You took your happy pills today, right? I can tell. You know, stuff like that, which is actually, yeah, actually, I did start taking happy pills. Like, this is my reality. Or no, I actually need my happy pills to keep me stable because I am bipolar. You know, there's people who this is their reality.
Even just calling them happy, happy pills already is insensitive.
Definitely not happy peels, but I'm sure they'd be happy.
Do you know what? I've been laying low on your chokes, but anyway. So, do you know what, Ida? Back to healing.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're about to run away from therapy. I wanted to say that we spoke about therapy in the context of going to see a therapist or someone who is trained, you know, professional. There's other forms of therapy that people also shy away from. And there's alternative sources. I'm not going to take away from what CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, I'm going to slow down. Cognitive behavioral therapy, what it does, which is what you're doing, mm-hmm. right? You sit with somebody and they try and change the way you think and the way that you approach situations. That is one. It's not often available to some people because of cost and stigma and all of that. There's other ways in life. I'll tell you what. Exercise mm-hmm. is therapy that a lot of people shy away from. I'll tell you now, if I don't exercise, I'm a different person. I know I've spoken about this in different in other sessions. There's some people who find therapy in meditation. Mm-hmm. I know you're one of mm-hmm. them. There's therapy in different ways. There's therapy in like talking to people and actually offloading what you're going through. Because people carry these things around. So it's not just a stigma against like the normal the therapy that we know of going to see a you know, a professional. There's other therapy modes that people still don't adopt because they're in denial of the fact that they actually need to deal.
Yes. And do you know what? I'd like to just put it out there that the majority need to deal. So I think people
let's just say I don't know anyone who doesn't need to.
Honestly. And I would like to challenge everyone listening to really take some time to do a self-audit. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it will happen in 2 years' time. Guys, things happen. You get retrenched. Or you lose a parent. Mm. Or you lose a child. Or you lose a spouse. Or you aren't financially okay. Mm. You've gone into debt. Or you've been diagnosed with something. Everyone is going to experience very tough times. Mm. And you can't think that you are not that person, you are that strong person, you're better than that, you'll always rise. Absolutely. I think the sooner you're able to actually understand that these things happen, mm-hmm. the better you are at finding help. Do you know what we haven't spoken about is generational?
So this is actually it, Pam. Mm. I'm glad you went there because in our next session, I want us to maybe unpack generational pain and wounds mm-hmm. and also to go into the actual sources of pain, which is romantic relationships, mm-hmm. Parents, you know, relationships with parents, friendships, siblings, work. You talk about retrenchment, loss, and then also talk about the, you know, the healing of self, which comes with like having to deal with whatever your own personal wounds that you've inflicted on yourself and the forgiveness of self. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to cut this session. Yes. And then in the next session, we're going to unpack the various points of healing.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we've had a very good discussion on this. I just wanted to end this with a little nugget.
It's okay. So Ida's lost a train of thought.
No, this nugget is for the next one. I want to give them the nugget on the. Sorry, I'm just using Pam's phone here, and I don't know how to use an Android. Sorry, guys. So I just wanted to end this session with this, and then we'll move into the next session. reason I'm doing this is because I want to be conscious of the length of this podcast. Yes. So we'll do this in parts where we have different healing sessions. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to end this one with a nugget.
I wanted to end this one. Okay, please end it.
I'm going to end it right now with this one, guys.
Good one.
What emotional healing does? Emotional healing allows us to come to terms with events and circumstances which have occurred in our lives. So we look at them face to face.
Yes.
Because a lot of the times we don't. We just carry on going and
brush them under the rug.
We're not aware of what it is our parents have done that has affected us, or our siblings, mm-hmm. or our previous partners, or our current partners, mm-hmm. or our children. It's endless. Or employers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to unpack that. So it says, once emotional healing work is done to release past emotional blockages, we not only integrate these experiences into our lives, but we also allow ourselves to grow and develop emotionally on a deeper, more profound spiritual level. Mm-hmm. So emotional healing allows us to live a more fruitful life, and it's beneficial to everybody who's around us.
Yes.
So stay tuned, or rather listen to our next podcast. We're going to be unpacking this emotional healing further.
Absolutely. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, guys.
Over and out. Please subscribe to this show to avoid missing out on any episodes. Follow us on Twitter at The Rookie Parent and on Instagram at The Rookie Parent Podcast. Thank you.